In the ongoing battle between the Bank of England and the British government to calm volatile markets, the ball has bounced to the government's court. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A U-turn on U-turning. That is what looks to be in the cards today for Britain's 38-day-old government led by Prime Minister Liz Truss. Her finance minister, Kwasi Kwarteng, has quite literally just landed back here in the British capital. He's cut short his visit to the International Monetary Fund in Washington as pressure mounts for the government to reverse its controversial tax proposals. The BBC's Rob Watson has details on what we know at this hour.
I think things are utterly dire for the government, for Liz Truss, for Kwasi Kwarteng. The arguments in favour of a U-turn, if there's a lot of pressure from the financial markets, there's a lot of pressure in the opinion polls, voters seem to want one, and of course there's pressure from Conservative MPs. I mean, against that is the argument that could she survive if she gives up what it was that she put at the centre of her election as Conservative Party leader, namely the idea that you wanted massive, massive tax cuts.
Well, financial markets are embracing the possibility of a policy reversal today. The yield on 10-year government bonds, called gilts, have plunged 2.1% this morning as demand for them soars. It's exactly what the Bank of England could have hoped for. That's because for the past 2 weeks, it's been supporting the market with an emergency bond buying program that ends today. It's been a sort of insurance policy for UK pension funds, which were pushed to the brink of collapse because of the bond market volatility. But are those funds ready for this support to end? That is a question I put to Anthony Ellis. He's head of investment consultancy at Hymans Robertson, which advises pension funds and other investors.
I think they're as ready as they can be, given the pace of change that's happened in the market. Some of those clients will have had to reduce their positions in the market in order to have enough buffer, have enough in reserve to be able to cope with any volatility that might come on Monday morning once the support is withdrawn.
And I mean, what have the last couple of weeks looked like for you and for your clients? What are the biggest concerns? What is your advice in this kind of very uncertain environment?
If we roll back a couple of weeks when the Bank of England first came into support, the day before that happened, the two previous days had seen a rise in long-term gilt yields of 1.5%. That's as big a rise as we've ever seen in a shorter period of time. So that rapid move really exacerbated some of the concerns in the market. It's meant that pension schemes have had to find cash very quickly to retain their interest rate and inflation protection within their funds. And in some instances, they haven't been able to find that cash quickly enough. So in some instances, they were being asked to find many millions of pounds and post those many millions of pounds within a day or two. And the cash just doesn't settle in that kind of time period. So even though they have sufficient assets, the need for quickness in getting those assets over to the fund manager was really the problem in the market.
So has the Bank of England's emergency help helped?
Absolutely. So coming in on the Wednesday morning, 2 weeks ago, you saw an immediate fall in long-term gilt yields of over 1%. And that's a huge move in the market. Just the mention of we will support this market and do what it takes in order to get it back to some level of stability was easily sufficient to calm the market nerves. And actually, they didn't have to intervene anywhere near as much as they thought they might do. But as we've got closer and closer to the deadline coming off, you have started to see an uptick in the volatility of those long-term gilt yields, government bond yields in the market, and more buying to try and dampen down those yields from the government.
Anthony Ellis, head of investment consultancy at Hymans Robertson. Thank you so much for breaking this down.
Thanks very much.
Well, checking just a couple of other numbers now. Here in London, the FTSE 100 is up 0.6% as European shares also rise. The pound has risen to about $1.13 against the greenback. To China now, where President Xi Jinping is expected to be given an historic third term in power at the Communist Party Congress, which begins in Beijing on Sunday. In the run-up to that meeting, the propaganda effort to boost his image is in full swing. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell visited a city in the northern Hubei province, an area said to have been lifted out of poverty after President Xi suggested they change the type of potatoes they were planting.
In the run-up to the twice-a-decade Communist Party Congress, state media here has been ramping up the propaganda. representing the country's leader in glowing terms in all manner of settings. Visits by Xi Jinping to poorer regions feature heavily, and they often lead the evening news. When he travelled to Zhengbei, the cameras were there. When he called for an end to poverty. Then he had a very specific idea to share with the locals.
How about mini potatoes for a better price?
In front of the camera, he suggested that they switch the type of potatoes they were planting. This is said to have led to a massive increase in what people earn. I ask a group of villagers about it, and a woman responds quite positively.
The mini potatoes deliver a good income now.
But in case the potato switch wasn't enough, money has been pouring into Zhengbei, with workers everywhere doing up houses, pathways, and putting in better facilities. Who's paying for this?
The government paid. We don't need to pay a cent.
Under Xi Jinping, the Chinese government has declared an official end to extreme poverty. Now, there are those who would question whether or not this is true, and perhaps it all comes down to a definition of what constitutes extreme. Certainly, though, if you visit rural areas in China, you'll find people whose living standards are well short of those in the city.
We grow this special type of wheat, along with potatoes. We have no other income.
An elderly woman is sweeping her wheat on flat ground to dry it out and remove the husks.
Because of the drought, we didn't grow much this year. There's nothing to sell, not even enough to eat.
As we walk up the dirt path to her house, she explains that since her husband died, she's had to pay the university tuition fees for her twin boys. She says her boys get by at university very frugally, mostly eating bread or noodles. But she knows that graduating will give them a solid chance at a better life, much better than their mum and her neighbours.
It's not easy for anyone here. Even a better-off village also has poor families.
This is not your average rural area. Xi Jinping's visit has meant that it must be boosted with considerable support from the Communist Party. Yet, while many are still battling, there does seem to have been genuine improvement here, especially when compared to the way things were in decades gone by.
That's the BBC's Stephen McDonnell reporting from northern China and in London. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.